Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Is this West? Is this the West campus? Okay. Okay. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 reads this way. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And such reads the invitation that I have received to come to Christmas and to celebrate the incarnation of my Lord, my God, and my Savior. Have you received this invitation also? In case any of you have not, we have taken the liberty to hand you one on the way in. Because the scripture says, and let him who hears say, come. We are authorized. We are even commanded to preach the gospel and to give an invitation on behalf of the Almighty. Now, before I begin the sermon proper here, I'd like to do a quick disclaimer. First of all, any similarities to people or events in the parable that I will tell are coincidental. So we don't want anyone running around calling, governors or mayors or anybody else, Beelzebub and all of these other kinds of names that I'm bringing into this sermon. But we've been journeying to the town of Christmas year after year in this church, and this year the journey's going to be a little bit different. Everything's been a little bit different in 2020, hasn't it? So please join me in the journey to Christmas now. And you know the place. Many of you know the place. It's called the Town of Four Inns because there are four inns there. The inn of the world, the inn of the flesh, the inn of the devil, and the inn of your heart. The journey in 2020. As we journey, the plague is among us. Many folks are hunkered down in fear. They're consumed by anxiety. But God's people are ready. We have just recently celebrated Thanksgiving unto the Lord, following the injunction in the scriptures, which reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we all know about mask mandates. But you see, for our spiritual journey, the one we're going to take this morning, there is an armor mandate. This armor mandate has been in effect for almost 2,000 years. And the armor mandate is found in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. And the mandate reads this way. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Every time you put on your mask, remember also, put on the armor of God. That's the Bible mandate. So let us go on with Christian soldiers to Christmas. We see the usual suspects along the way. The flames are near unto them, but they take no notice. Those going to the three inns of sin cannot and will not help them. There's no help from the world. They hurry by and they leave them to their fate. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Perhaps one will be saved and come to Christmas to worship for the first time. But if that's going to happen, you must speak up. For the scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even should they not come with us now, it may be that the Spirit will lead them along. Does it not say on our invitation that the Spirit will also say, come? We don't know how the Lord works, but surely, if you're a saved person here this morning, saved by the blood of Christ, God's Spirit has worked in you. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now we're at the city. There's a new governor of the town of Christmas, we're being told. I don't think he's legit. I think he is usurping the right place of the true lord of the town. His name is Governor Beelzebub. And he has locked down Christmas. The governor has issued the following executive orders. First, spiritual mask wearing is required by his loyal subjects. We, of course, see right through those masks. For God's book says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. The second executive order is this. Spiritual distancing from the Lord of the town of Christmas is now being required. Further, spiritual distancing among Christians has been made mandatory. For the governor knows that prayer and fellowship, along with doctrine and communion, will undo his authority. It will undermine the reign of the prince of the power of this world. The governor Beelzebub has further ordered that Nabal's bar at the end of the world, Jezebel's shows at the end of the flesh, and the casino at the end of the devil must remain open, for these are all essential services. And finally, the fourth executive order. Access to the water of life in the inn of your heart is limited to, get this, one person at a time. Yet believers are finding ways to gather so as to obey the command not to forsake the assembly. Prayers in the town of Christmas, even with all of this, amongst the pilgrims are still being offered and they're still being answered. Behold, I call your attention to the east gate. Is this not the Lord of the city whom we have come to Christmas to worship? The scripture says that he always enters by the east gate, for it is written, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Indeed, the Lord Jesus has rightful authority over Christmas. even over all of the land. The devil's order, restricting access to the water of life in the end of your heart, to one at a time, has no effect. In fact, each of us must come to these places one at a time. The Lord truly confounds the ways and the plans of the wicked. Each of us must commune with Christ individually and personally. And if we will do this, the devil will have been beat at his own game. That governor's going to have to leave that town at Christmas. And the Lord Jesus Christ will reign freely. So come, drink of the water of life. For whoever drinks of the water that the Lord of the town shall give him will never thirst. But the water that Jesus shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And now proceed. Don't stop at the end of the world, the end of the flesh, the end of the devil. I know maybe you know some folks who are there. You see some friends there. Might even look like an attractive place to stop for a little while. But keep going. Proceed to your destination. Proceed alone to the end of your heart. And when you enter, close the door. Pray to the Lord of Christmas. And when you do that, Jesus shall surely come to call at the end of your heart. And he will say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And the Spirit says to each one of us this morning, come. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season. Christian worship, we know, is always in season, but we thank you that there are appointed times where it can be brought to the forefront of our minds. Lord, you know that there may be some folks even here hurting or anxious, who have a need or a prayer. Maybe some folks who aren't with us today who are a little bit under the weather, or people who haven't been with us for a little while by reason of infirmity with the plague among us. Lord, we know that you're on your throne today, and we know that you answer all prayers according to your perfect will. So we pray that you meet each one's need this morning. If there are any here who need salvation and assurance of heaven when they pass from the pilgrimage through this place, Lord, may such a one believe that you died to pay the penalty for their sins and that you rose again and that you've gone to prepare a place for every believer. Lord, if there are any who have been frequenting one of these other inns that we talked about this morning, the inn of the world, the inn of the flesh, the inn of the devil, Lord, may such a one be convicted of sin. Lord, we even all pray that we might be forgiven of our iniquities. All of those times where we've done things we ought not to have done, where we failed to do things that we ought to do. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive us and heal our hearts. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.